morning is from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 15. Hear the word of the Lord. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command the stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And the devil took him up and showed him all of the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you will then worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him you shall only serve." And he took him to Jerusalem, and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went throughout all the surrounding country. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. Pray with me one more time, if you would. Heavenly Father, this message was a struggle. And I ask that you somehow, in your miraculous ways, that you humble me in this, that I'm somehow able to do a good job with this, because it is hard. And I pray that your Holy Spirit is what is paramount in this lesson and in this room, and that all else falls by the wayside. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for indulging me with that. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. If we all came over on different ships, how come we're all in the same boat? Most accidents occur in the home. This is why most men stay out late. Being an executive is learning the art of getting credit for all the hard work somebody else does. Here's a good one. 76.8% of all statistics are made up on the spot for proving a true point. The best things in life are free, so is the worst advice. The trouble with alarm clocks are that they always make noise when you're trying to sleep. Here's one. By the time a man finds greener pastures, he's too old to climb the fence. These are just a few of the quips that I remember so well that hung on the wall at my grandmother's house. There was one, though, that stuck out to me even as a young boy, and it read, "I can resist anything except temptation. The only way to get rid of temptation is to yield to it." Now, my grandmother was a very godly woman, and these quotes are by no means a reflection of her or her walk with Christ. They're not original quotes by Clara B. Weir. I think she had them up as a reminder that sometimes the world makes sense of things that don't make sense. See what I did there? Matthew and Mark end this scene from Jesus' life with these words. Angels came and were ministering to him. Luke's words are a bit more pessimistic. The devil departed until a more opportune time. Luke doesn't mention the angels. And so here we are. We're left with some questions here. The most obvious one, if God and Jesus are one and the same, how is Jesus being tempted? Is this a contradiction? I mean, according to James chapter 1, verse 13, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, nor he himself tempts no one. What about verse 6? Satan saying that he has control of everything, and that it's his to give away to whoever he wants. Contradiction? The most scary question of all, if Jesus himself is tempted, what hope is there for us? I mean, the perfect one, who when born, a host of angels came down from heaven. When baptized, the voice of God rang out. And when killed, the earth went dark and time stopped. Here we have our one and only hope in this very human moment. Jesus, not only resisting temptation, but did not fall. So how can we relate to him? What hope can we have in this, that if the devil himself can tempt a member of the Holy Trinity? We as saints, we can't be afraid to ask these questions that the world throws in our face as contradictions, that the scripture is not true. There's no option. We have to look at them. We have to study them because they are the words of God, and we must ask them, and we must seek answers, because scripture will always answer scripture. So this event occurred right before Jesus started his ministry. If you've ever been on a mission trip or a retreat or anything like that, you always know that there's going to be spiritual warfare beforehand. But this is beyond anything ever experienced by mere mortals. Consider this, that Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. I'll repeat that. The Holy Spirit led Jesus. Perhaps this is the first lesson we can glean from this. That the Holy Spirit is our guide and leads us into paths of righteousness. But those paths will not always be walks in the garden. We may often find ourselves treading hot sand in an arid desert before we can feel the lush grass under our feet. This time, the Holy Spirit led Jesus to the devil himself. Why the devil? Most of our temptations come from within us: anger, lust, gluttony, selfishness, gossip, pride, many others. But look at this. Why did Jesus' temptations not simply come from within himself as they do for us? I mean, scripture repeatedly teaches that Jesus is without sin, including the original sin. Isaiah 53:9, he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. The same appears in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Jesus is a high priest who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sinning. It's perfect. There's no contradiction here in these verses. There's no question here that Scripture does not have an answer for. Even hope itself is not lost, but is even more attainable because of this. Because Christ, in his weakest moment, and Satan at his strongest, the devil still loses. What this passage shows is just how invested Jesus was and is into his followers' lives. That he would not just leave heaven to live a life of a human, but that he would allow himself to be tempted by the same things that you are tempted by. That not just being human was enough, that he chose to take on the very things that make us human. Sickness, hunger, tiredness, age, heartbreak, temptation, and death. He did not just go through this so that we could have a role model or someone we can look up to. No, he humbled himself so that we can see what perfection looks like. And know that for us, he is who he says he is, and also for us that we cannot attain that. That we have to come to a realization that our one and only hope in this life and in the next is in Christ alone. And that we can depend on him. That's what this is about. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45. Jesus is the new Adam, without any sin. He does not have the fleshly desires that each of us who are born with original sin experience as temptations from within ourselves. From within ourselves. These internal temptations that come from within ourselves make us most vulnerable to the temptations of the world and the devil. Jesus, he has no such internal temptation from fallen or distorted human nature. His temptations could only come from outside of himself. In the desert, the wilderness, by the devil. And the devil tempted him. Later on, Peter would tempt him to cease speaking about his upcoming suffering and death. And Jesus would rebuke Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan." After the multiplication of the loaves, the crowd would tempt Jesus to become their king so that he would always give them bread and they would never starve. Jesus does not give in to their temptations. In the face of this biblical truth, we need to reflect more deeply on who Jesus Christ is. Jesus often described himself as the Son of Man, and clearly Scripture teaches us that he is fully God and fully human. And because of this humanity, he understands what we go through because he himself experienced what we go through. There's no temptation that you can face that is greater than what Christ was tempted with. True perfection remains perfect. God cannot die. God was not being tempted, but the human aspect of Jesus was being tempted. And because God cannot die, and man does die because of sin, and so the perfection and the purity and the righteousness and the holiness and the glory of God and his love was all wrapped up into flesh that could die, that would die. Breathing air and drinking water. The Prince of Heaven, who knew no time and bound by nothing, was now tied by the hands of a clock and limited by how far walking distance was. For you. The perfect human was ordained to be the sacrifice to the imperfect. And since God cannot die, and humans can, and so in this moment, in the desert, the perfection of Christ was put on full display for the world to see that even when Christ is at his weakest, he is still stronger than the enemy at his strongest. Setting Jesus up as what? The perfect sacrifice for the more opportune time for the devil to show back up. You and I know what it's like to endure temptation for a moment, for an hour maybe, even for a day. But for 40 days? This is what Jesus faced. The Spirit led Jesus into the desert where the devil tempted Jesus for 40 days, verses 1 and 2. Now we read this, and our minds automatically just go to what we read of the three temptations over a 40-day period, but that's not really what it says. In reality, Jesus' time of testing was nonstop. The devil tempted Jesus for 40 days. Sleepless nights, starving belly, and sunburned skin. Weak, but full of power. Human, but fully God. We only have three temptations recorded here, and they're very important as to why they're the only three recorded. But we know that every step there was whispering in his ear. Every turn of the path was sowing doubt. Was Jesus impacted by the devil? You bet he was. Luke doesn't say that Satan tried to tempt Jesus. No, the passage is very clear. The devil tempted Jesus. And this is kind of scary because Jesus, in this very human kind of a moment, was tempted. He was tested. Tempted to change sides. Tempted to go home. Tempted to settle for the kingdom on earth. The three temptations, one for the most basic of needs, one for power and worship, and one of pride. This harkens back to when the first time temptation reared its ugly fangs and sunk its venom deep into the marrow of mankind. In the garden. Also, like Jesus, Satan was the cause of the temptation. It did not come from an internal desire. The lies were the same. This food is what you need, and it will make you like God in the power and worship. Man fell for the lies. The Son of Man did not. We simply went from this paradise in the garden, and now we're in a veritable wasteland of a desert. Do you see the obvious symbolism here? Satan used the same temptation of power and pride, and man fell in the garden of perfection. And now Jesus has come down into the consequences of sin, into the part where man was kicked out of, and is now facing the same temptations from the devil. The lies of Satan in the wilderness. The lies of Satan are all too familiar to us. We can see them coming from far away. And yet when they reach our longing ears, deep in our thoughts, we believe these lies bouncing around in our heads as though they are truth. Because we never question ourselves. We never question our thoughts as though we can actually lie to ourselves, because why would we? We all believe what we think. I am good enough. I can do it on my own. I help out people. I'm a pretty good guy. Or perhaps it's doubts that float around in your head. I can't beat this addiction. I've tried for years and I just can't beat it. I'm not able to overcome these trials. They're just too much. Or surely, after all I've done, that God cannot love me. Let's look at these temptations closer, because we have the most basic of needs. 40 days and 40 nights without food in the middle of a hot desert would have killed a normal person. But the fast is over by this point. So why is eating bread a sin? Because Jesus would not call on the angels to save him from the cross. And out of all the miracles that Jesus ever did, out of every single one of them that he ever did, he never did a single one for himself. Not a single one. The bread itself was not from God, but from the enemy. to boast that he made God do his wishes. 40 days of fasting left Jesus skin and bones, starving. And so Satan brought up the topic of food, as in the garden. Jesus' stomach was empty, and so to the stomach, Satan turned. Where are you empty? Where are you hungry? For attention? Success? Intimacy? Be aware of your weaknesses and bring them to God before Satan brings them to you. The second temptation, the lies about power and worship. Life would be easier, Jesus, if they all worshiped you and they all owed the tithe to you. Life would be so less complicated if you had power over it all, that they would do whatever you told them to do. Hear those words. I would not owe anyone anything. I would be able to do what I want to do and when I want to do it. After all, doesn't God want me to be happy? Is it too much for me to ask that I can have what I want from God at least one time? God cares more about your soul than he does your happiness. And so follow these lies and pursue that line of thinking that you deserve it, and you will end up in the pit. So, what lies do you tell yourself? Be careful you don't believe them, because no one lies to you more than you do yourself. The third temptation, pride. Satan, having failed the last 40 days and has one more chance, one more bullet in his gun, the same one he used in the garden, knowing Jesus is fully God, dares him to prove it, to beckon the angels for protection. The enemy, in a last-ditch effort trying to kill Jesus, knowing that he will not call upon the angels when he jumps off the temple for the world to see that God is dead. Where does your pride lie? Because pride, as we see in the garden, leads to death. So where does your pride lie? Is it in your work, your children, your family, accomplishments, possessions? Because your identity is not in yourself or what you do. Your identity is in Christ. The enemy will stalk you with temptation, as he did with Jesus. Except, he's got a leg up on us, because our temptations are already there from the fall. And so he first tempts us, and then he condemns us for being tempted. The third temptation, he stalked Jesus' identity, and he stalks us. Do not forget that we tend to be proud of what we tend to be proud of is currently turning to dust. But that your Father in heaven is very proud to call you his own. That does not die. We know Satan. We use our flesh to attack our weak spots. So you know what to expect. Expect to be tempted. Don't be surprised when it comes. You know where you're weak. Put up strongholds in your life, in those places. Jesus overcame this temptation not with special voices, supernatural signs, or even miracles, but by remembering and quoting Scripture. Let God's word silence Satan's lies. And see what happens. Use the very words of Christ. Man was not made to live off of bread alone, but by every word from the mouth of the Father. Decide now what you will do then. Don't wait until the heat of the moment. A crisis is no time to prepare an escape plan. There's a reason that the airline attendants points out the emergency exits and the protocols for exiting the plane in case of emergency before the plane gets off the ground. It's too hard to plan when you're free-falling 30,000 feet from the air. We don't think clearly. The time to discern to resist temptation is before it even strikes. Take a stand for what is right now, so you won't be sitting down for it to fall in your lap later. Like Jesus, we are tempted. Like Jesus, we are accused. But unlike Jesus, we give up, we give in, and we sit down. How can our hearts have the endurance that Jesus had? That's the hope. Because Jesus had it. Because he did it. And he is our only hope in this life and in the next. In every moment of every trial, of every struggle, of every pain, of every heartbreak, of every temptation. He's our hope. The founder and perfecter of our faith, we can look to him. For who the joy was set before him endured the cross, endured human life, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Why did he leave heaven? To take up residence on earth in flesh. Prophecy. Yes. Glory of God? Yes. Love of God? Yes. Grace of God? Absolutely. But don't think for a minute that he could have had a different plan. He's God. He can do whatever he wants. He wanted to show us not just that he's glorious, but he's the most glorious. Not just that his grace abounds, but it abounds like nothing else. Not just that he loves us, but that he loves us with the true blood sacrifice, and he loves you more than anyone and anything could ever. Focus on Christ. The joy that God put before him. Lift your eyes beyond the horizon, beyond the current temptation, and gaze upon eternity of glory and fullness of power from the Spirit. It gave him strength to finish and finish strong, and that same Spirit dwells in you in fullness and in power. It does. Look beyond this crumbling world, constrained by time, and feast your eyes on the glory of God. The demons in hell shudder at his name, the mountains quake, and the very oceans obey him. How do you face temptation? That's how. But if you do it on your own, you will fall every single time, 100%. Face it in fullness and in power of the Holy Spirit that stirs your very soul by focusing on an eternity by being warmed by God's radiant light. And for those who fight temptation, for those who resist, for those that are called by name and saved by grace, such a moment does await. In a kingdom that has no end, we will rest. Surrounded by saints and engulfed by Jesus Christ himself, the work will be finished. We will be seated with Christ in the fullness of power, and our perfect ears will hear those words that we all long to hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. You're redeemed. You're holy. You're righteous. You're pure. By my blood. Thank you so much, Father, for leading us into the paths of righteousness. But give us strength when those paths cross over dry and arid deserts and deep waters. Remind us that those waters will not overtake us, that the fires will not consume us, that we will be able to say at the end, it was true. You are true. Give us strength for our temptations. Give us hope for eternity and a blessed assurance in this reality. In Jesus' name.